One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello and welcome to Funny Mummies, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian and writer, and I'm blessed with two lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, but also those that are aunties or friends, because let's be honest, we all need the help of our non-tired mates. Join us as we find the funny side of parenting, life, and being bloody great women.
Happy Mother's Day! Happy Mother's Day!
Sure, blimmin' am. I am what I am. I am today. I am Hattie Ashdown, and I'm here for you for the next hour, bringing you the Funny Mummies for the Other Woman show on Soho Radio. We all just learnt that's Gloria Gaynor, not Shirley Bassey. Or maybe they both did it. They all did each other's songs in those days. Anyway, welcome. If you've not joined me before, it's the Other Woman show every Thursday, and on my Thursday, it's called Funny Mummies. So how are you? How are you all doing out there, my funny mummies? For some, like me, the half term awaits 6 weeks of finding stuff to do, of hearing snacks, mummy, I want TV, and wrangling with the guilt that they've had too much screen time. But it's okay because it's CBeebies, isn't it? it's okay. So, but then the fatal things happen where somehow he finds YouTube and the devil that is watching kids unwrapping toys that for some reason, when I take it away, it's like a crack addict going cold. But most important to get through it all, whether it's a new baby phase or half term, is you. You, mums and dads. We do have some dads listen, but it's mostly mums, let's be honest. They say the saying is happy mum, happy baby. I say happy mum, happy everyone, really. Basically, if you're happy, then we're all blooming happy. For me, it was having a second kid for me has been the biggest WTF to who am I anymore. With one you can just like drop it off, people are happy to have one, look after one kid, you can get around easier, you can chuck stuff in your bag, and I get on the train and go places. So much harder with two, so I've, you know, feeling a lot more claustrophobic. So it's really important I try to do little things to keep a little bit of me, even if it's just getting my nails done, which I haven't done this week actually, a cheeky little backdoor fag sometimes, once or twice a month. But to be honest, it normally ends with me finishing it, thinking, yeah, I'm still me, I'm still rock and roll. But I finish the fag and then go, why did I do that? I have piles of books to read, unfinished jokes to write. I don't really, I just wanted to put that in there to make me sound like good. So much theatre I want to see. I'm not bothered. And so, I do really. And so many unfinished conversations with friends to have. How many times do you get back from seeing a friend if you do manage to meet up with them and you go, oh yeah, there was about four conversations that I didn't finish. And then you have to text them and go, you know that thing we spoke about? So, have I lost my identity? I thought I was doing okay until I heard a comment from a family member. And honestly, I don't take this in a bad way. It was a bit of a wake-up call. That a family member said that Hattie's, she's a bit different since she's had kids. And maybe I am. And maybe I'm okay with that. But it made me think a lot. It was kind of a good wake-up call. So let's talk about identity. And you don't want to just hear me rattling on, because I could rattle on. Let's meet who we've got today. I'm so excited about today. I've got to go back my panel today. First up is a regular to the show. Sam, I don't mean to say that. My boyfriend, oh, here she is. Sam could say, almost a co-host now. She's like the deck to my aunt. Zag to my zig.
I'm glad it's that way around.
Yeah, I did that on purpose. Yeah, I'm definitely the Alky. The Pauline Quirk to my Linda Robinson. That's an in-joke if you've listened to past podcasts. The original producer of Comedy Virgins. And now back emceeing. It's fun mum of one. It's Gemma Beagley.
Woo!
You have to speak. Oh, my producer's told me that like you have to say hello.
Oh, hello.
At the end of that bit so that they know the difference between the two of you. But I think your accents today are different enough.
Different, yes.
We've had a few shows where we've had like quite two
similar
posh people.
Two posh people. Yeah. So what is this? What am I? A box tick, am I?
What?
A box tick, am I?
Yeah, you're just a box tick.
When you get the South London scumbag.
Don't worry, someone from North London is here.
So we've got a bit of North London. She's originally from Essex, but she's lost
that. Oh, is she?
There's a clue, yeah. And next, a special guest and first time to Funny Mummy's podcast, although she has been on many of my previous shows.
Yes.
A big supporter of mine from me doing Quid and Radio and all sorts of other radio shows. She's helped me out when I just didn't know how to drive the desk. She's done it all, including a sitcom, what I wrote, in case anyone wants to find it. It's called Give Out Girls, and she was starring in it. And it's a really big underground hit. It's so underground.
Cult classic.
It's a cult classic. She's a comedian, podcaster, actor and improviser, writer and mum to a little girl. But I didn't know if a woman would say her name or not.
Yeah, no, don't.
She's very, you know, she's private. Because she's really famous. That's what famous people do. Her podcast is a multi-award-winning podcast, Griefcast, which I've been on, was recently named Best Podcast of the Year. She is the founding member of the cast of the improvised group Ostentatious. You probably recognise her face, a Chevy Chase, from all the TV shows, Murder in Successville. I blooming loved all your characters in that. Peep Show, and recently Alan Partridge, which was nice to see you pop up on that. Yeah. I so want to know all the gossip, but you probably can't tell me. She's also been doing a bit of theatre. A funny thing happened, and I'm not going to say the rest of the title because it's really long. Go and look on our website. It says it all there at the Finbury Theatre. That was recently, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But guys, let's not forget she's the voice of Hits Radio UK.
I think I am at the moment.
My charm and lovely cool mum, it's Carrie Ad Lloyd.
Hello, it's me, Carrie Ad Lloyd. Woo! Bringing North London to Funny Mummy's podcast.
We have many North London, I don't know.
You must have. In media, there's quite a few.
Oh yeah, they've all been mainly. Yeah. I mean, we've all lived in North London at some
point.
We've
all lived there.
Oh, I've we've lived all there. Lived
not
in
me,
North
mate.
London.
Not me, mate.
I know.
Can't get across the river.
I've never lived
no
south.
No tube.
I've never lived
have
south.
You?
Really? No.
Oh. So how come you ended up in North London then?
Oh, no, I'm from North London.
Are you?
Yeah.
But are you?
From Essex. No, my mum's from Essex.
So you grew up in North
yeah.
London?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's
rare. Family,
I didn't know that.
That's quite rare. Yeah, I'm Londoner. Wow. Yeah, my mum's from Essex. But I grew up in North London, and so I've lived on like the Northern Line, basically the top bit, I'd say, from High Barnet to King's Cross. And my mum once said to me, if you go south, I'm not talking to you. You're dead to me.
Oh, people, I've got friends. Yeah, I've got one particular friend who lives in Highgate, and she's never come to visit me.
Yeah.
And I've lived.
I came south to visit you.
You did?
And
all that
yeah.
way. Did you have shivers?
It's just when you look on, you know, when you do the Google Maps and you think, oh my, I have to get a train from Waterloo for Victoria.
Yeah, it's, I mean, Sadiq,
yeah.
apparently he's given us a bus
Is
at
he?
Some point in South London. Yeah, we're getting a bus, you know.
What do you mean we're getting about?
Well, like, you know, Crossrail just completely ignores us.
I feel bad. Like I live between two tube stations.
Right.
And the London Overground I could get as well. Like the options are ridiculous. And then I do when I go to friends in South. Like,
yeah, and I've got to get a bus to a tube.
Yeah.
Or a tram.
It's hard.
You've got a tram.
Yeah.
You've got a tram.
That takes me
mate.
From
I've
Wimbledon
no
to Croydon.
Well, there's lovely, lovely shops in Croydon. Good shopping centre in Wimbledon, actually. Quite good.
Yes, you know. Yeah.
I feel like I could just keep talking about traffic for the whole podcast.
And I was like, yeah, and I'm half an hour in an Uber to East London from where I am. But if you go on public
transport. My family
transport,
have only ever lived north or east as well. Like, west and south are like very confusing to me.
Well, it's nice. It was a big jump for me and I had to do it because of money and kids. So there you go. There's a good start to our identity.
Yeah, having to move.
Because it was definitely a big identity thing of like staying in London as much as possible.
Yeah.
And I think probably a lot of our friends are going through that probably now, like slowly creeping
but
out.
You've moved to the edge of London.
I am so on the edge. And I think I've said this before on this podcast, but I sometimes say it's Kent and then sometimes say it's South East London.
Yeah, I grew up on the edge of North. So when you moved, I don't consider, because I grew up on like Greater London, but we were still on the tube because North. So I don't, because to me, that's like, oh yeah, that's
so
still London.
So am I still in London?
Yeah.
Carrie Lloyd said I'm still in London.
Yeah, because that's what I know some people get, because I grew up in High Barnet and some people get like, oh, that's not London. What's your postcode? And it's like, oh, for fuck's sake, I'm on the tube. Can I swear?
Yeah, you can swear. I've got to say.
I'm on the tube. And also just saying like, if you can get into London on a train, yeah, come on, I think where you are is basically
well,
Greater
on the
London.
National news, when a guy, God rest his soul, died recently on our lake, when he freezed over, he was rescuing his dog. God, don't need to bring the news mood down. But it's because the most exciting thing for me was that it said in South East London.
I think geography is the most important thing in that story.
Yeah. That's like, for sure.
I considered that. Yeah, so when you moved out, I could see it's hard. Obviously it is hard when you have to like move out of London. But yeah, because I grew up on the edge. I don't think that's...
Okay.
Like, because I know some people get like, oh my God, because I grew up on zone 5. So some people are like, I can't imagine. It's like, actually, it's actually fine and there's more trees. Like, it's completely fine.
Are you in a London borough?
The London borough of Bexley.
Yeah,
there you go.
Exactly.
Oh, guys, there I you love go. You.
London borough of Barnet. That's what I considered my, I was like, I'm in London.
But do you know what? In terms of like identity and stuff, I'm okay. Do you know what? Because I've had lots of friends that have moved out to Folkestone.
That is not London. Once you go that far.
And, you know, but they still work in TV and stuff like that. And they've got kids, but they've moved. But I'm to be honest, I have got to that point where I'm like, I'm happy to move out for a bigger place. But Alex, my husband, I know he, you know, he's got that thing of like, he's not lived in London as long as me. And he's like, really wants to cling on to the postcode as much as possible. And I think that, you know, coming back to the identity thing is that's probably why, because he feels like, oh, what if I, you know, what if I get boring? And even though I might be coming in to do stuff for work in London, it's like, you know, I don't know about you, but like when you come in and do work, you are you again. You're not. What about you, Carrie? Do you feel like some people are like checking their phone and still carrying the mum life with them on their shoulders? Or are you like, I'm out the door. I'm Carrie Ed Lloyd.
Oh, I don't know. I've comedian. Worked since she was 6 weeks old. So I don't separate. They've always existed completely at the same time.
Yeah.
I didn't have a like large... I must say 6 weeks. Obviously, I immediately feel guilty because I'm a good mother.
I was 6 weeks. But
yeah, but like I went and did a TV job a couple of days and came back then.
Yeah, so it's not like normal.
No, it's not exactly. Tell my NCT group. but I've always felt like they've always existed completely together. My working life and being a mum I've never had a time of like I had a friend from another mum group who was a civil servant and she had a year off. And I couldn't get my head around. I was like, what are you going to do for a year? She was like, maternity leave. I was like, oh, I couldn't imagine. Like, so I can imagine, I can see that's hard if you then have to go back to work. But
would
I think,
you want that? If money was no object?
I would have liked longer. Yeah, I would have liked longer. Yeah. Definitely. I would have liked, I think I would have got bored. And I think I probably, because I'm me, I would have been like, oh yeah, I'll do that improv gig. Or yeah, sure. Oh, you want me to do a podcast? Yeah, sure. But I would have loved 6 months of just being a mum. But I didn't feel like I financially could do that. Because...
That's
both,
the thing when you're freelance.
We're both freelance. And my husband's freelance. So I just felt like I had to say yes to things.
But do you think it also comes back, and I'm going to bring you in a minute, Gemma, is the, you also introduced me, Carrie, to that wonderful book, The Writer's Way.
The artist way.
What did I say?
The writer's
there
way.
There is a writer's way. Artist way. So artist way. There is a writer's way as well, isn't
oh,
there?
Oh, is that number two? I haven't done that.
I don't know. I just made it up. She should. I've just announced it. The artist way. And when I, one of the, I didn't finish it. I was one of those terrible people. But one of the things I did get from it was the affirmations.
I love affirmations.
And the one which was, I'm happy when I create.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I think that's the trouble, without sounding too wanky, but us in the sort of creative field or comedy field, we need that. And even if that is just, you know, I don't know, reading stuff, just keeping something alive.
Yeah, I definitely, if I hadn't been doing something, well, funny enough, I launched my podcast 2 weeks before she was born.
There you go.
So, like, I obviously subconsciously was
I
like...
I think it's a subconscious panic,
I
isn't
definitely
it?
Had a subconscious panic, and I definitely... And that's what I've mainly done since I had it. And I must have subconsciously thought, this is something I can do with a baby. But if you'd asked me, I would have been like, oh, no, I'm just putting it out, see what happens. But obviously it meant, because gigging became much harder to be out and about late night and going far places.
Because you're tired.
Because you're tired and also, like, just being freelance and sharing that with my husband. But podcasts, it's like, I can go to Childminders, I can record, I can send it to my editor, I can upload it at home. So it became like, oh, that's a job I can do and have a kid. So
that's pretty much how this started.
I think it's something you just... I don't remember when I left uni and like when I was trying to become freelance, you know, you have like I tempt. You have to find the thing that works for you. Like, so I remember like I was like, right, I'll just tempt because I'm trying to get auditions at the same time. And I would just walk out of jobs because they loved me. It was great. I was a really reliable receptionist. But you know what I mean? Like, you have to go, well, what I need to earn money and I need to get to do this thing. And that's how I felt with a kid. I was like, well, I want to be her mother, but I've also got to work and, you know, look after everybody. So what can I do? It's just very practical.
It is practical, but I think we need it. I mean, Gemma wanted to do this topic today because I was saying, what should we talk about? And you brought it up.
I did, yeah.
And was there any deep down thing reason?
Well, I
do
think
you feel like you're losing your identity, Gemma?
I think,
or you're regaining it?
Well, quite. I think that and that's the thing is that and I have done a little bit of research, as is my want, Hattie, as you know. And just, I was just reading some blogs and stuff like that, just from these mums, you know, they do the blogs. Anyway,
the mums that do the blogs,
and they all seem to copy each other in America. They all just seem to have the same ideas. Anyway, but what I found interesting was that the thing about what to do about feeling like you've lost your identity or losing your identity is it's not forever.
Yes.
And I think that's my experience now. That coming out of the end of the toddler bit,
baby,
is actually
toddler,
you know, they're a bit more independent, and it's like, oh, right, okay, this is, and you know, and I've settled into being a mum. That it isn't forever. It felt like it maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah, I think the first year you think, this one, my life's over.
Yeah, this is like,
this is
wow,
the end of it.
You know.
Yeah.
And I found it really difficult to accept. To accept that this is different, you know. I mean, you know, I knew coming into it, of course, I'm going to have this child that's going to need me and all that. But actually, that identity piece, I didn't realise it until, you know, until it happened. But I think, I mean, the advice that seems to be on the internet, which seems to be the advice for bloody everything, is
it's all right.
You need to take care of yourself. You need to look after yourself. You know, the most bland,
says,
the most bland piece of information.
Do
I don't know. I don't know, because I don't know how having a bath is going to bring myself back. However, there is a bit of advice which I thought was really, really useful, really good. Was listen to the music of from before.
Music is a great one.
It really, really is. It's really, really important.
And I was saying recently, I'm sorry if you two girls are those, because parents, it's no disrespect.
But I hate people.
I guess we just never started it. But do you, if I get in a friend's car, they put on the music.
Oh, the nursery rhymes.
And a nursery rhyme comes on. We've just never started
it.
We just have Blondie on, or whatever.
No, we play her
own
music.
Yeah,
and I just feel like my parents did that to me, but we'd never had special music.
No.
They have their own bloody television. I have to watch, if I have to watch bloody Moon and Me again without keeping my eyes closed.
We went through the Moon and Me obsession.
I love it. It's
I love
beautiful.
It.
it's very calming, but sometimes you feel like someone is smothering you.
It's very long as well, isn't it?
It's 20 minutes.
It's long.
I'll tell you what though, because I always let her watch two things. So it used to be like two Dougies, two Bings, two Moon and Me's. I'm kipping. I'm having a kip.
Cook dinner. You put the over round.
But yeah, I was like saying, we just put music on from like, so yeah, she likes Blondie. At the moment, she keeps saying, I don't like cricket. Can we play that one? I don't like cricket.
No. Oh, that's so cute. No.
And I think, why do they have to listen? And I also, again, this is my judgment, but when they only play the Disney songs to get the kids that only know Let It Go, I think, guys, Blondie exists. Like,
yeah, right.
You know, there's so much other music that you can't, literally my brain was like, no, can't think of anything else.
but that's, and I guess that is the thing of keeping in touch and not being all consumed by becoming a parent, you know.
Don't you have to teach them as well? I feel like you have to teach them, obviously you have to teach them they're important. But I definitely grew up with an idea of like, yes, you're important, but so are we. Like my parents were like, and we have things that we like doing and you have to come with us. So we would go to the theatre and the cinema to watch things that they wanted to watch. I mean, we would moan and we would be bored, but I don't know, really. I think when it's all, like I said, it's only for them, only serving them. I think you are just a nanny then, aren't you? You're not a human being.
I think it's in some ways it's all gone round in a circle too much in some ways. I mean, because my mum, well, I never did anything, like no play groups, nothing. Yeah. Nothing like that.
There weren't really that many options.
And
either,
I don't feel like I missed out at all.
No.
I played with, you know, kids came round our house. I went round, so I did have interaction with children. I have, for those who don't know, I do have siblings, but they're a lot older than me. So when I was little, they wasn't little, they were a lot older. But I mean, do you think, what do we think about our mums and their identities?
Well, my mum, I mean, we weren't church goers, but we went to Catholic school was connected to the church.
Dipped your toe in the holy water.
When
you needed a school.
Yeah, don't tell them. But the so there were just lots of parents and lots of kids. Mm. And so we were always at other people's houses or people were at our house. So all the kids would go off and play. And then the mums would be sat in the kitchen smoking fags and drinking coffee.
Lovely.
And told to keep the fuck out of the room, right? And so I guess now as an adult, I'm thinking, well, my mum did very much continue to be a grown up.
Yeah.
You know, or it was just, all right, Dynasty's on, get out, you know. Yeah.
In my case, I'd go in and watch Dynasty from the age of 5. That's why I was like a weird nan child. Because my hanging out was a Friday night. My mum would go around the neighbours for a little martini. And this literally was like one martini. I'd have a martini glass, but with a bit of lemonade in it, and just play with her ornaments.
Ornament playing. Nothing better than ornament playing.
Do kids do that anymore?
Yes.
Yeah,
I have to say, when we go to in-laws and Alex's mum has loads of Russian dolls.
I love a Russian doll.
And luckily, you know, she's really cool with it. She's like, let him play with them. And he gets them all out.
Yeah.
Although, who broke one recently? This Joe stepped on one.
Maritushka, aren't they called? Maritushka dolls or something.
She's got loads of them. Like, he played with them all this time and hasn't broken.
It's all right if you broke one because there's more, right?
Exactly.
There's like five of them normally.
The flipping tiny, tiny
one. Oh, no, the baby one.
Yeah,
I got the baby one. That's fine.
Anyway,
still works.
No one will know it's Missy. It's not like you could the middle one.
Hang on a minute. Like, ooh, there's too much of a gap here.
I'll just stick a peanut in there or something next time I go. Now I've outed that.
Exactly,
I did it.
With a face on it.
Right, let's have a song choice because I've got all, you know, like relaxed and I'm like, don't know what. Yeah, so what should we have? Let's have your choice then, Carriad, because of what we were just talking about with the old music.
My daughter's got obsessed with Blondie. I think it's because the only one she can say. So she can't say a lot of the other ones, but she says, so Blondie. And sometimes she makes up her own song and goes, Blondie likes cake. Blondie has a cake. Cake for Blondie. And I keep going, that's not how Heart of Glass goes, but the nice try.
I love it. It's like early lip sync battle.
Yeah.
Love it.
But yeah, Heart of Glass. Watch the video if you get a chance because she's so stunning in it. And
stunning.
What I thought, the reason I chose it, if you watch her, the sense of her identity, she absolutely knows who she fucking is, Debbie Harry. She's staring right into the camera and you think, you look at her and you think, yes, Debbie, I hear you. I can do this. Yeah,
that's
good.
Why she knew her identity. That's why she didn't have children. She was very clever. you're listening to the Funny Women. Funny Women, Funny Mummies. Cut Glass by, you know, the blonde one. You're listening to Funny Mummies for the other woman on Soho Radio. I'm Hattie Ashdown, and we've got Gemma Beagley and Carrie Ed-Lloyd. And we're talking about identity, guys. Do you still feel like you've got your identity or you've lost it? I think the other, as a mum this is, or dad, I think the other thing is, and I probably should have done some research on this, but some people might be like, no, I'm completely not who I used to be. I just wanted to be a complete mum. Mm. But you are, I mean, even if you think that, you are still going to be different. I would love to ask my mum now, because she's not around anymore. I know Carrie Ad is okay with talking about death. So am I. So I'm going to say this. One of the things, when she was in the hospice, there was a few moments, I don't know if I said this on your podcast, where I was like, I should ask her things.
Oh, yeah.
And one thing I really wanted to, I was like, oh, ask something important. But I also didn't want to panic her because she didn't know she was dying, and that's what she wanted, and that's a whole other thing. Listen to the podcast. Listen to Griefcast. But one day I went, Mom, in kind of casual way, I was like, if you, like, for some reason couldn't have children or whatever, what is there anything else you would have liked to have done? Because my mum had 4 kids and she had them quite young. And she was like, she just literally looked at me like I was mad. Like, she just didn't, that didn't even enter. She was like, no. She just sort of went, no. Like, I can't think of any. That's all
that's
she
my
ever.
Lot. Yeah. That's what she wanted. Yeah.
Maybe that was just the era. Obviously, we all live in a different era now. But I think my mum's identity definitely improved, if that sounds like, she grew in confidence.
Yeah.
She was quite shy. She was still shy, but, like, we definitely...
Well, it was a much clearer role, wasn't it? To be, like, my mum said that she knew she wanted kids from, like, as soon as she was a teenager. She knew she wanted a family, and she was quite keen to just get on with it. And, yeah, they had just, like, well, it was quite late, actually, for her. Like, I think she was about 26 when she had my brother, and about 30 when she had me. And she said, I knew by 30, I thought I'd better get a move on.
I know, like, in them days.
Imagine saying that now. Someone would be like, how offensive. But, yeah, she was, and all her friends were mums. And, like you said, we all lived on the same street, and there was, like, 4 or 5 women that we all hung out. All the mums would sit in one room having cups of tea, and we'd all just hang out with each other. But she very much, yeah, that she wanted to be a mum. But I think because we have kids later, mostly on average, I think you've got a stronger sense of identity to lose.
Right.
Like, I think that's really
hit the nail
on the head there.
Because if I'd had her in my 20s, I think I would have been still finding who I was and figuring it out. But I think I was 34, something like that, 35, and then I really know who I was. So
yeah.
I really knew who was not going to be there anymore when, you know, a child turned up. So I really did grieve that loss of, like, oh, that person. Yeah, I did. I found it really hard. You know, I talked about having, like, working at the same time, but I found that first year unbelievably hard. Yeah. Yeah. Because I just couldn't do things that I wanted to do. And I would go to pick up my bag.
Gone. Just that shock of, like,
yeah,
I'll pop and see you for coffee.
I'll pop and see you. I'll do that.
I've got to do feed and I've got to do this. And...
like, I wanted to just be able to pick up my bag and walk out the door. Yeah. And I'd be like, what do you mean I have to? She needs this. I've got to change nappy, get the food ready, get her in. I've forgotten the muslin. All that faff. I hate that faff so much.
When you lose the baby bag and you don't have to carry around bags anymore.
I know.
But do you also think, and I was older than you and I had my first, but so for one bonus is that I know myself, and on really dark days when I'm, like, feeling really tired, I'm a bit like, what am I doing? I do sort of go, I don't resent them because I have had a life.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not having a life now, but you know what I mean? It's a different life.
If I'd had a younger, I would have found it really hard.
I think I'd have been resentful.
I think I would have been resentful, yeah.
I think that thing, isn't it? The grass is always greener. And I think something else that I read was that, and a bit of advice was, stop comparing. So stop comparing today to when you were 21 years old.
Because
you ain't 21. Yeah. And again, this is just the most, again, another bland piece of advice off the internet. Enjoy this moment.
Yeah,
but actually, the example it gave in this article was about the thigh rolls, you know, of a baby, just the chubby thighs, and how that's not going to be like that forever.
Yeah.
And so just enjoy that now.
One of my favourite quotes is, comparison is the thief of joy.
Oh, yeah.
Theodore Roosevelt. I've got it up on my wall. I'm by my front door. Because I just think, especially in this day and age, it's such an important, just if ever you are feeling crap about something, and I don't mean like actually crap, I mean when you're like, oh, it's because you're comparing yourself either to your past or someone else's future or someone else's present. Oh, they've done that, I haven't done that. Oh, maybe I should. All that spinning starts. Mom, why don't I never do anything? Like, blah, blah, blah. It's like, just stop comparing. Just be like, actually, have I, you know, am I wearing shoes? Do I have a home to go to? Yeah, I'm probably fine, aren't I? Like, this, basically, I'm basically fine. But it's hard to do that.
Gosh. Sorry, I'm just like, looking, listening to you and not thinking questions.
But it's hard. I think it's, again, it's a bit internet-y, isn't it? Like, look after yourself, don't compare. It's hard sometimes when you're in the, you know, they're not sleeping, you're on Instagram and you're like, everyone's having a brilliant time.
That's the big thing, isn't it? Like, I had a week off of any social media.
Oh, lovely.
And you do need it. But then, you know, I'm not saying it's bad, you know, looking online and stuff, because I have met some amazing people. Yeah. I've even got work. So it's just balance, like everything, isn't it?
It's like, just knowing. I think, like,
Gemma's looking at me, not nodding. I'm feeling like you might disagree.
No.
Are you like a flicker, Gemma?
Do
you swipe?
I do flick
in, on a regular basis.
No, in bed at night, and I'm trying to. At some point, I will go, right, no more phones in the bedroom.
Oh, dude,
because
that
I'm just there,
that.
Just with my mind, just going, oh, I'm just scrolling and scrolling
you
and scrolling.
I can't recommend that enough. We did that before we had her. You put the charger downstairs.
Yes, and get an alarm clock.
Oh my god,
I bought an alarm clock this week actually, because I'm getting close to doing that. I'm going to do it.
Oh, just honestly, that was one of the best things that helped my sleep and made me mental health feels so much better. They're charged in a different room. The first thing when you do when you wake up is not look at your phone, and that is a game changer, because I used to just sit on there and then you don't.
It's a better beginning to your day,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
It's more
better
at night for me. I think I have a little quick look.
No, and then I've got the charger somewhere I have to stand. So like I'll go, just I'm about to go to bed, I think I'll just look at Instagram, and then you're knackered and you think, oh, I can't be asked to stand here. So you put it down.
I used to do it. I need to get back. Yeah. You know the other reason I did that? Because I was trying to live in this dream world of like, I don't want my children to see me on the phone all the time. So I used to have the phone. It's up on these drawers that are really high up. Mm. So for me, I thought, he just thinks I'm just leaning on this. But for me, it's better than just like, because already the one-year-old just wants my phone because he thinks, well, that's interesting. What's that thing you keep looking at?
It's so sad.
But it's...
But yeah, put the charge to someone else. That's,
let's be honest,
massive.
There is, you know, I was talking about it last night online with my fans. You know, we as mums, if you're in that phase where you're not doing a lot, which I'm kind of... I'm just coming out of it, hopefully. He's won, so hopefully he can start doing a bit more stuff. But it's very much my day is just being a dinner lady, you know, cook, cleaner, all the lot. And so I do sort of do that thing of like they've gone to bed and I just want a bit of... I know I should go to bed, but I just flick through because I'm like trying to find a bit of escape.
It's so hard. I try and read... when I can.
You're good with the reading.
Well, I have to force myself. And what the good thing to do is read really good books, like books that are
you can't put it
books
out.
That are 100% recommended by everyone. Don't take a chance. Like read something that like
what are you reading at the moment?
I've just finished. Oh, it's a tough one.
Bible,
Half a Yellow Sun by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. It's amazing. She's such a good writer, but it's very it was a bit upsetting, actually.
Oh, I don't want that one.
But she's got one called Americana, which I can't recommend enough. But what I try and do is force myself to read. Mm. And then when I've finished, think about how you feel. And I always think, God, I feel so much better than I do after scrolling. Like, I genuinely feel nice.
Like they say about going to the gym. You don't regret going.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
That's the other
regret not going.
Exercise, apparently. Exercise just solves every single problem.
Do you exercise? Is that what the bloggers say?
That's what the... Your blogger said. So
exercise?
No,
I don't do.
No,
I don't.
I walk a lot.
I swim when I can. Oh. I love swimming. That's like my thing. If I could
I
go
don't
more,
I get my hair wet.
Don't you?
No, I can't be bothered.
Yeah, there is that. It's a bit of a mish.
I find it a bit.
But
I get
it's
cold.
Literally around the corner. So what good. I do is, if Alex is home early or finish early, I let him do the bedtime routine. Then I go around the corner. I put my pajamas on, mate. When I walk around the corner.
Oh, lovely.
They all think I'm the mad loony woman.
Would you 10 years ago have put your pyjamas on?
I know! I've lost my identity!
No, you've gained you've gained one, which is, you don't care.
And I think that's the thing with, like, going back to a family member that said that, is one thing a friend said to me once was, I turned up to meet up once, and maybe I just had Huxley, and she went, oh, I feel a bit disappointed by those sandals you're wearing. They're just not... They're not you. You're normally so glamorous. It's like, I'm not as glamorous as I used to be.
It's impossible. I'm not.
I used to be like, Mrs. 60s, like always wear like a bit of a 60s dress and
that
stuff.
That takes time.
And it's hot polyester, those dresses. When you're a mum, you're just constantly hot. Yeah. The first thing we all said today was, oh, so hot. Yeah.
My friend did that. My friend's a stylist and she helps me out with when I have like TV jobs and stuff. And she was, I think I was doing QI or something. She said, I'll help you go and get a top. And I turned up in jeans that were two sizes too big, an anorak, like over a coat. And she just looked at me and she was like, are you all right? And I was like, oh. And then I just caught myself in the full length mirror and I thought, yeah, that is a bit much. Is it like, look kind of like dog walking or going to the park.
You have got a dog?
No, not anymore. Oh, long story. That was the first year. And I think for the first year, you're allowed to not completely be yourself because you're not. And then after about a year, I thought, do you know what? You don't need to wear this. I was wearing like these jumpers from Next that my mum bought me with puppies on that I hate, that I thought were disgusting.
That sounds like my dream jumper.
It was disgusting, but I was like, it's comfy. And when she's sick on it, I don't have to wash it. And then I thought, no, get some self-respect and wear some clothes you like.
Because the whole maternity clothes thing, which are great. And it is that kind of,
When do you stop wearing your maternity jeans?
Exactly.
They are so comfy.
Exactly. I wore them for like another 6 months because my belly didn't go down for like 6 months.
Mine still has, and I've gained my pregnancy weight a year later. I've gone up and down, up and down.
Yeah, but that's so normal, isn't it? And like those maternity jeans, I couldn't fit into my old ones to be so long.
You look great now.
Thanks, babes.
But it's... you're saying about the year thing. I think definitely I'd give yourself a year, but I'm actually going to put a new rule in, girls. I think when you have two, you can have 2 years like getting yourself together. Because I'm like, whoa, that's the thing. I think that's why I've been feeling a bit of pressure lately, because it's like, he's a year now, should be doing this, should be doing that. But longer.
So my daughter's just, she's about 2.5 now, and that's made me go, oh, like you said, after 2 years, I think you start to get your head above the water a bit, whereas I would have said, oh no, a year, but now after two I'm like, because she can walk and she can talk and there's all that, like I can leave the room.
Is she toilet training?
We've just done it. Yes.
And she's succeeded.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
But
well,
girls better.
Easier.
She took about 3 weeks. But everyone is girls are much easier. So
it's a biological thing as well, apparently.
She's all right with it. She just is, the only thing she is annoyed about is that she has to go, she can do it. She's just annoyed she has to go to loo. Yeah. And she's like, I don't want to. Oh, I've just been.
Yeah.
So the concept of it, she totally gets, but like the philosophical attitude of how much you have to wee is annoying.
But not having to carry nappy bags.
Yeah, yeah. So I do think 2 years.
Life is beginning now.
I think,
another one.
Yeah.
Well, and then that's the thing, right?
Yeah, the pressure. But I think 2 years is, I'd definitely say. Yeah. But that first year, I think the first year is chaos. So that's why people say, after the first year, because I think after the first year, it's not as, like, you're not in a storm. Mm. You kind of slightly, like, you do, if the nappy bag, if you forget it, you cope. But that first year, you're like, what will I do? I've left the house with that one thing. Whereas then I think you go, I'll just go back home, it's fine.
I went all the way to my club when he was smaller. I was taking him to my club, Scream of Laughter, lunchtime comedy club where you can bring babies to. And and I was on a way, I went, oh, I've forgotten the whole nappy bag. But yeah, I didn't panic as much as realise you can cope buying nappy.
Yeah. You just buy some nappies, borrow someone's. It's fine.
You can buy these already sterilised bottles.
Yeah, I've done that. I've just bought a brand new bottle, formula. It's not the end of the world.
You can cope. Yeah. I guess maybe if you've got no money, you might have a problem. But
oh, God, yeah.
I
think the creative, you're talking about, being creative, and if you're a writer or creator, that you...
like working. Yeah, a lot of people it makes them. I know a lot of mums who, you know, they work whatever, makeup artists or whatever. They need to work
If you're writing material and you're a, you know, unless you're a specific, I don't know, whatever, one-liner or out there surreal comic or something, then your material source is changing, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, and I'm sure you've both had it. People say, "Oh, you must have so much, must get so much material now." It's like, no, what's staring at a fucking wall? No.
Sometimes it's too close. You don't want to talk about it.
Like, exactly.
You've got to step back. I know some of the fantastic acts we have at Screaming with Laughter, who some of them have got great material. I haven't got a lot of great material. You think I would, don't you, hosting it? But I still feel like I'm still too close. I'm getting there now. It's like you're
You can't joke about something in the middle of it.
Was it like trying to make us time, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like that first year, I didn't have any jokes. Just because if somebody had said, like, be funny about it, I would have cried and gone, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, and I'm not sure I did the right thing. Which is like, obviously, that first year panic. In case in history she ever listens to this, darling, I absolutely did the right thing, darling.
But do you think it must make, like, I know Alex, my husband, who's an improviser, I say to him, you must have such a better range on stage. You perform with all these blimmin' young single ones and everything. He's got all these situations he can bring up and
I've definitely
stuff on stage.
It's nice when anything, child related, you feel confident about that as an improviser. Whereas I think you see a lot of improvisers who don't have kids who'll just be like, I'm a child. Boo-hoo.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, no, it's more torturous than that.
Yeah.
Like an adult that can control you. Like,
Have you ever had to do a tantrum? Like, pretend to do a kid?
Yeah. I actually had to audition for a woman who thought she was a 6-year-old once. And I did and he was like, wow, this is really. And I thought, yes, because I spend a lot of time with a toddler.
Oh,
Didn't get it.
Oh.
Went to someone more famous. It's very frustrating. And they literally said it as well. They were like, they wanted you, but they wanted someone more famous. Oh, thanks. Thanks for telling me. Uh-huh. You're just not.
They told you.
Yeah. But I think they thought it was nice. Want you.
We wanted you, but.
But you're not famous enough. So I thought it was like, ooh.
This must have been somewhere like Meryl Streep or something. Because you're.
Yeah, surely.
That's the order, isn't it? Meryl Streep, Carrie Ann Lloyd.
Yeah.
Can we get a Carrie Ann Lloyd?
If Meryl's busy.
Are you watching Big.
Big Little Lies.
Yeah.
No, I haven't talked about it.
It's on the list.
Yeah.
Second series got Meryl Streep in it, you see.
Is it good?
She's just such a different character. She's a brilliant actress. I'm saying she's a different character. She plays so many different characters. But from somebody who loves her in Bridges of Madison County, it's like, whoa. You know,
is that your favourite bit of her work, Meryl Streep?
Probably.
Really?
No, I just love that film. It's.
I haven't seen that for years.
It was one of them that when I watched it stayed with me for days. Such a romantic. Anyway, right. So, talking of which, Gemma, just have your tune. What we got and why?
We've got okay. So this song, talking about keeping in touch with who you are, and this is very much from my teenage years, and it makes me giggle because I think I was maybe 13, 14 when the song came out, and it was being played all the time, and I thought that I sounded like her, and that I could probably go on. Stars in Their Eyes.
Yes.
As her. And my little brother and sister, who would have been like, I suppose, 10 and 7 at the time,
right,
used to wind me up and be like, yeah, you really sound like her. Like, you should definitely. And they'll go and sing like her, and then they'd be laughing at me behind my back. I taught them so well. And so I, just at a side note, I can't sing.
Right. Because we all really wanted to sing.
Sure, but you know, as a 13, 14-year-old, you think you've got talent, right? So so there you go. So this is Lisa Loeb, Stay, open bracket, I Missed You, close bracket.
Oh, such a good tune.
Such a good tune. Listen to Funny Mummies on Soho Radio.
You say what I want to. You say I talk so all the time, so
it's short and sweet.
It's quickie, isn't it?
It's a quickie.
She does enough. She covers it. Yeah. She nails it.
I'm back. I'm Lisa. Back in the 90s. And that was one of the first CDs I bought, I think.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I still got it. I still got it on CD. That was Stay.
She's so beautiful.
Yeah, the glasses. Was she wearing like an A-line skirt, an A-line dress?
If you've just joined us to listen to Funny Mummies with me, Hattie Ashton, Gemma Beagley and Carrie Adloyd. We've not got much longer. I think we've got about 10, 15 minutes, maybe. Okay. Maybe 15, 12. So we're talking about identity today, but I think, so we've got a new feature called Mum's the Word. And so stuff that you want to put kind of like, a bit like Room 101, I guess, like just wish people stop using that expression or stop saying that thing. It can be anything silly from like when you're a new mum and people could go, oh, I think she's hungry.
Oh, I think she's hungry. She's tired.
Overtired. I don't even know what that means.
Although I do say that a lot. But it's other, it's other
it makes you feel better. It makes you feel in control. Because it's like, there's a word. Overtired.
Overtired.
They're rather always, than like, oh, just being a dick.
They're just constantly tired. They're growing, aren't they? But yeah, has anyone got, you know, like the classic one is using child mind, you know, my partner, my husband, child minded, did the childcare. We banned that word.
Daddy daycare.
I
wanted to punch that.
Who said that?
People said that to me. Oh, he's doing daddy daycare. Because we really, we share the childcare. It's like 50-50.
Mm.
And I was like, what? Why is he daddy day? Like, what the fuck?
Mm.
Yeah, that got used a lot. But especially when she was little. And the thing that they start saying now, oh, he is good with her.
Oh, he's so good with her.
You're so lucky he's so good with her. I'm like, all he's done is play with her and hold her. If I was doing those things, you would no one be complimenting me.
Who was it? It's an old member of my family. I can't remember now. Maybe it was Alex's nan. And literally all Alex did was walk in and was carrying the baby. Yeah. So I think when Buster was a baby, just walked in with, oh, he's good with him.
He's a good dad. Just carrying him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were at a picnic recently and it was my friends. And so she was mostly with him because he knew less people and she was really climbing all over him. But, you know, so it looks like I could see people being like, oh, well, you haven't done anything. That's how I feel. And they're like, oh, you're so lucky. He's so good with her. And I thought, he's just holding her and she's...
These are NCT friends?
No, these are like normal people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, I felt with my husband, he would, because he'd want to go and have a cigarette or just get away from the people, you know, oh, I'll take him.
And off he goes. I'll take her. And you're like, ain't he good?
No, he's not joining in.
Yeah.
And I'm left with you wankers.
Come back with a coffee. That one. I'll take her off. Comes back with coffee or cake. And you're like, well, did you get me anything? Oh, well, I couldn't carry anything. I wanted something. Yeah, that's one that annoys me.
Right, we're putting that in. That's gone in.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it about a million times, but this whole, just the bland internet advice for me, you need to look after yourself. And it's just like, okay, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And also, I would if I could, but that's the point. I'll look after you.
Yeah.
I will look after you.
Yes.
But I can't, you know, I think it's quite an unnatural thing to be able to look after yourself properly. Because I think generally people are, look outwards, right? They don't look inwards.
I look after myself quite well.
Good for you, Camilla.
Good for
self-care. I sometimes have to think, maybe I should. Does anyone else need help? Like, I've got my tea, I've got my chocolate, I'm watching telly. I think, oh, did somebody? Oh,
but I think you are very good at looking after yourself. I remember right back to when we were filming Give Out Girls and you were having a tea and like you were like, no, I have to have decaf tea.
Mm.
Otherwise I get anxious.
Yeah.
I hope you don't mind me saying
that. No,
it's
fine.
But that really stuck with me because it's just looking out for yourself. I can self-destruct myself a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Even just with drinking tea. Earlier I got a coffee and I knew I should have gone decaf coffee. I'll have a cappuccino, full caff. Even though I know I'm probably going to get a bit anxious later.
Well, they call it, you have to self-parent. That's the phrase I've seen on the internet a lot lately, self-parent.
Do you hate that though, Gemma?
No, I don't mind that. I don't mind that whole being a good mother to yourself. I think that makes sense, but that's quite specific. Whereas just this kind of take care of yourself.
I think saying self-care is just take care, or like you said, like have a bath and light some candles. It's like, no, self-care is not just bubble bath.
Yeah.
It's a lot more than
so
that.
So what would you rather it say? Like, you know, specific advice.
Specific. I think just be specific. So that, like, going through those solutions to the whole identity loss thing, identity theft by a baby. Which, you know, listen to music of your youth.
Yeah.
I mean, it says here, retail therapy, which hate that expression, but what it was saying was, if you find that you're going, when you go out shopping, you're buying for the kid, just for once, do not buy for the child.
Yeah. Do you know what someone, a mum said to me once, she was like, oh, you know what it's like, just buy clothes for them, don't you? And I was like, oh, no.
She was like, Harry, I just nailing
stuff. Oh my God, I never buy her. She won't bloody wear anything. I'm always buying stuff for myself. I know, I felt really bad. She was like, oh, do you not? She's like, I always forget. And I was like,
judged.
No, do not forget. I'm in And Other Stories. I'm in, although now I've got to stop because there's too much. Fashion is a polluter, guys. I've stopped.
I'm on
second hand. Yeah.
Going are you? Off.
Good for you.
I'm just trying. I mean, I've done like 2-3 weeks, but guys, yeah.
So you haven't bought a new thing for
I have bought some weeks. New things, but also, you know, like good companies, not the cheapy ones right. that are exploiting people.
Well, yeah.
But it's hard. It's hard. So that's why I think retail therapy, again, and again, you need finances to do that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's
yeah.
a bit yeah. of a lame advice in a way, isn't it? Because it's like, well.
Do you know what I've been doing?
What?
I've been picking up litter.
Oh, nice.
I got myself a grabber.
Yeah.
What, other people's litter?
Yep.
Yeah,
because you know what? No one else is
like. What else it would be like your own litter?
I throw it down. I pick it up.
I just pick it up.
I make sure everyone's looking.
That's and really then I'll pick good. It
yeah,
out. No,
I have. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What a good citizen you
and
are.
And I down my street, yeah. and this guy said to me, I had two responses. I had three responses. One was a guy threw litter while I was collecting litter, and I said, "Are you taking the effing pee?" And he went, "What?" I said, "You just dropped your bottle top." It was 11:30 in the morning. He was drinking a beer, and I was. I said, "Go on." I said, "You've got a drink problem, mate." Anyway, so I just screamed at him down the street. I was quite angry about it.
That's
another guy said, "Why are you bothering to do it?" And I was just like, "Because no one else is going to do it, and it annoys me. So yeah. I'm just going to clear it up."
Yeah,
and
then
someone else said, "Thank you very much for what you're doing."
Yeah,
oh, God,
and he made a little joke with me and Alistair, my son. He said, "What was he saying?" I said, "No, I was just making a joke about the street. It was dirty, now it's clean." He said, "It was a joke." I said, "Yep." He said, "You can put that with your jokes, Mum."
Oh,
put that with your jokes. That's but yeah, that's so what I've started doing, and actually, I feel. You know,
that's what David Sedaris does.
He does
talk about it.
He does.
Yeah,
I mean, he.
Yeah, obsessively.
Yeah, he does it in the middle of the night and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But it was, again, he said people then throw litter yeah. at him because they're like, well, you're doing it.
Yeah.
Some people are very strange. I don't understand that.
Okay, that's a bit weird, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's really good citizenship because it makes you feel...
It makes you feel good.
Yeah.
That's fine to...
But also you have to feel like you're solving something. I think when you feel depressed or like, oh, I've just got kids and oh, that's what I am, you have to do something... Like an action, doesn't it? Like
exactly
right, I've done
it.
That. That's a thing that's real.
Yes.
And it's helping other people.
Exactly.
And it's good to focus. I think you've said this before, Karen. It's good to focus on one thing because it can feel like, I need to do all these things.
Yeah,
like I've been thinking about, there was loads of dog poo on our road.
Yeah.
And I thought I might be the secret dog poo cleaner up.
Yeah.
Somebody chalked on the pavement, pick up your fucking dog shit. Like, it's right near the school. And it has it suddenly just... really cleared up. So I think there is a secret dog poo picker upper.
Yeah.
But it was going to be me, it's not me, sorry.
I think that's fair. You've got two kids, you don't want to get involved with
it. But I was thinking, but you do feel like you've got all these things shouting at you. I keep wanting to do
keep
something
very
where
simple.
I do old people and take my kids around to visit old people. Just trying to think of something.
Choose one thing. That's how I felt with the clothes. I was like, right, I could do that. I could stop buying from these shopping places
that
I know that they're exploiting women.
Of
course I know that.
Yeah.
I thought it wouldn't take much just to stop for a bit and do eBay and do secondhand.
So you've got a list of retailers that you know.
Yeah, and there's a really good lady on Instagram actually called On Brogue, as in E-N Brogue. And she's...
I love that.
Yeah,
because I love On Brogue, so I love it.
She's a fashion writer and she's actually just completely stopped taking free gifts, stopped buying stuff, and she's talking like about sustainable things and the great way that Instagram is an educator. And you can buy these things called guppy bags where you put clothes that contain plastic in the bag when you wash them to stop plastic going out. And this is a hot tip I've discovered, right? It's fabric softener.
Yeah,
bad for you, bad for your clothes, right?
No,
got a wax in it, stops, really bad for anything that's supposed to be absorbent like towels, covers it. What can we replace it with? So I started googling it. This is gonna blow your mind. Vinegar. White vinegar.
Okay.
White vinegar is one of these things.
Oh, my God.
Like lemon juice,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, white vinegar. You can put essential oil in.
Great,
if you can't bear the vinegar.
Clean the toilet as well.
But, clean the toilet. I put 25 drops of rose oil in. It still smells of vinegar, just to warn you. It still stinks of vinegar. But the clothes don't smell at all. And it works the same as softener.
Smell of it.
Clothes do not smell because my mum... she said, oh, I've got a stick of vinegar. And I said, sniff that. Doesn't smell. She said, oh, no. And then you're not having to buy a softener. It's really
I do
cheap.
Wonder, yeah, I've always wondered whether softener was a bit of a, you know.
Yeah.
Scam.
My sister makes her own washing powder. She's
That's what
really
I'm
good.
Doing. I've got the recipe from Friends of the Earth. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to try and do it. But I thought I'll start with the vinegar and see how we go. Yeah. I've got
I need
stuff.
To find something, girls. You've inspired me.
Yeah, the old people thing. That's great.
I haven't done it yet.
Yeah, but that's what you have to find something that interests you. You know what I mean? That's made your brain go, oh, I'd like to do that.
I've talked about it a lot. It's like, stop talking about it, Hattie, and just do it. But because like they haven't really got
There's
a lot
an old people one near
old
you.
People around them.
There's an old people one in Southeast.
Is there?
Yeah, that does. I follow them on Instagram. That takes kids in to meet the old people. And I remember thinking, Southeast, I can't go.
What, in the old people's home?
It's somewhere in Southeast London. I'll try.
Oh, we'll have to talk.
I'll try and find you. Yeah,
find it off air. But yeah, oh god, we're gonna have to finish up now. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
It's been so much fun. So much more to say as always. But we hope you all listening out there find a little bit of you. Even if you know, it's not about saying you don't have to be mum.
No.
It's all right to accept. We're not saying run away from being mum, but you do have to keep a little bit of. You, otherwise I think you go a little bit lula. That's my...
The technical term.
Technical term.
Lula.
If there's anything anyone would like to big up at this point, I do have listeners in the Philippines, just to let you know.
Yeah, listen to The Griefcast. So you can find us on Twitter, at Twitter and Instagram, at The Griefcast. And I'm in a show called Ostentatious, which is touring as well, which is improvised Jane Austen.
Are you not going to Edinburgh this year?
I'm not, but they are.
They are.
So they will be in Edinburgh.
Clever girl.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carrie Lloyd. Gemma, anything you want to, or anyone you can want to pick up?
No, just take care of yourself. Just
find something.
Have
for
a
you.
Bath, guys.
Right, let's end on two mums that I'd reckon they didn't compromise themselves at all. And this is also linked to the new Judy Garland film that's coming out soon. So let's have a bit of Get Happy. And it's a duet with Barbara Streisand and Judy Garland. Thanks very much, everyone, for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Listen to Funny Mummies.
Forget your troubles.
Happy days.
Come on, get happy.
I hear again the strain. Is above a clear again.
Shout hallelujah.
So let's sing a song.
Come on, get happy.
Cheer again.
Get ready.
Happy
for
days
the
I hear again.
The sun is shining.
Together.
Come on, get happy.
Shout it now.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast with me, Hattie Ashdown, in association with Screaming With Laughter for the Other Woman radio show on Soho Radio. Thanks to all my guests and panel today, and edited and produced by Charlotte Kingston. We'll be back every month for another dose of Mum and Tonic.
Happy Mother's Day!
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.